Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. And we're going to get started with Wishing on a Star with Beyonce.
I'm wishing on a star.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, The Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. And that was Beyonce, Wishing on a Star. All right, let's get ready and turn within, recognizing that there is only one power and one presence. But on this line, we recognize this beautiful, amazing spirit that is known by many names. We know it as God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. So together, let's get intentional about the breath. Preparing our mind and our body to be centered. Recognizing that there is power in the breath. There is power in the breath. And sometimes we forget to breathe. And so I want you to take in a deep breath, breathing in through your nose, hold it to the point of vibration, hold it to the count of 8, release the breath. And remember to breathe deep into the heart and deep into the diaphragm. And so I want you to breathe, family. There's power in the breath. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. And breathe again. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. Release. And breathe, family. Just breathe. Be still and know that I am. That I am God. Breathe. And release. And last time, breathe, family. Be still. Know that I am God. Breathe. And as we prepare ourselves to speak our prayer treatment with Reverend Knight, calling in all the goodness of God, the God in you.
Let's get rid of all the money hang-ups. I tell you how I want you to do this. I want you to get relaxed. Take about 3 good long breaths and stretch your feet out if you can. Now I want you to place your hands in an upward position on your lap. Just let them rest in an upward position. Somewhat slightly cupped. You see, like my cup runneth over. And just repeat this with me. Right here and right now. I open my mind to all of the goodness of life.
Open my mind to all the goodness of life.
I deserve it all.
I deserve
God
it all.
God wants me to have all of the goodness of life.
God wants me to have all the goodness of life.
It is God's pleasure to give me all of the goodness of life.
It is God's pleasure to It is God's good pleasure to give me
all of the riches of life.
Health,
happiness, love.
Success,
prosperity, and money. I totally open my mind to the flow. With no reservations.
With no reservations.
I opened my mind to money.
I opened my mind.
The being, doing, having power of the mind.
The being, doing, having power.
The being, doing, having power of God in me.
The being, doing, having power of God.
This is real money. This
is
the money that becomes every form of money.
This is the money that becomes every form
that I need and want.
That I need and want.
And now we're going to go into a visualization for a moment, so I just want you to close your two outer eyes. Tilt your chin slightly upward. And look through the third eye, the eye of God in you. And repeat this visualization prayer treatment with me. I now enter into the theater of my mind.
I'm now entering into the theater of
and
my
I
mind.
And I see myself.
And I see myself.
I see myself as I wish to be.
I see myself as I wish to be.
I see myself as a healthy person.
I see myself as a healthy
person. I see myself as a happy person.
Ooh, and I see myself
I
as,
see
a,
myself
happy
as
happy.
A loving person.
I even see myself as a
I see myself
person.
As a beloved person.
I see myself as a beloved person.
I see myself as a successful, prosperous person.
I see myself as a successful, prosperous
I
person.
I see and feel myself as a person who has a lot of money.
I see and feel myself as a person who has lots of money.
I see that I have all of the money that I need for every good cause.
I see that I have all the money I need for every good cause.
I see myself with stocks and bonds.
I see myself with stocks.
Certificates of deposit.
Certificates
a big investment portfolio.
A big investment
I see
portfolio.
Myself having money, making money.
I see myself having
money making money.
It
feels wonderful.
It
feels good. I see and feel myself enjoying the goodness of money.
I see and feel myself enjoying the goodness of money.
Thank you, God in me.
Thank you, God.
For money and all of the goodness of life.
All the goodness of life.
Now open your eyes slowly. Come back. And in closing, I say health, happiness, love, success, and prosperity, and a whole lot of money go with you. Amen.
Oh, Mother God, thank you. Thank you.
Day 10, a prayer of forgiveness. I forgive myself for judging my relationship with money. I now consciously and willingly call forth the Holy Spirit and the consciousness of the higher mind I am into every cell, every atom, every molecule, every tissue, every organ, every muscle, and every living system in my being, asking to have transformed every energy, every pattern, every belief, every program, every idea, every attitude, every perception, every expectation, every intention, and every behavior and motivation related to money, wealth, and abundance, bringing it into alignment with the perfect will of God. I now consciously and willingly call forth the Holy Spirit and the consciousness of the higher mind I am into every atom, every molecule, every cell, every tissue, every organ, every muscle, and every living system in my being, asking to have transformed every energy, every pattern, every belief, every program, every idea, every attitude, every perception, every expectation, every intention, and every behavior and motivation related to money, bringing it into alignment with the perfect peace of God. I now consciously and willingly call forth the Holy Spirit and the consciousness of the higher mind I am into every atom, every molecule, every cell, every tissue, every organ, every muscle, and every living system in my being, asking to have transformed every energy, every pattern, every belief, every program, every idea, every attitude, every perception, every expectation, every intention, and every behavior and motivation related to money, bringing it into perfect alignment with the perfect love of God. For this I am so grateful, and so it is. Today, I forgive myself for judging my relationship with money.
Whew, so it is. Good morning, family. Good morning, good morning. You've tuned in to the Love Journey, your love experience with Janine Ann Ingram, your transformational spiritual life coach, author of Born to Be Rich, vision board counselor, radio personality, go on. I got many hats, but I just want to thank you this morning as we journey together on this month all about manifesting whatever we desire. And so today, we're on our third day of our Money Love Challenge, and I can't wait for us to open up the line and see what letters or things that came up for us yesterday. All right, we're going to get started this morning. Good morning, God. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning to the sun, the moon, the stars, the clouds, Father Sky. Good morning. As we send energy and love into the sky, good morning to Mother Earth and Mother Nature, the birds, the bees, the flowers, the trees, the land, the soil, the plant kingdom, the animal kingdom. Good morning to the earth, the wind, fire, water, the ether. And good morning to our most beneficent angelic family as we invite the angels into this call. Thank you. And good morning, angels. And as we invite and invoke our archangels into this call, good morning, archangels, ascended masters. Good morning, ascended masters. Our master guides and spirit guides and all the unseen forces in the universe, we invite and invoke their presence into this call. Good morning. And as we stop every Monday through Friday to just pay homage to those who walked this planet before, we give love to our ancestors this morning, inviting and invoking the presence of our ancestors. We speak the name of our known ancestors in our heart right now. Good morning. That's my mother who was the vehicle who assisted me in the planet. Mama Colette, who was the midwife of this call, and to all of your known ancestors, we pay homage. We pour water into the earth, pouring libations into all our known and unknown ancestors, thanking the Most High for the opportunity to stand on the shoulders of so many who walked this journey, who sacrificed their lives for the gift, call us. We send love into our descendants this morning, those who will come behind us. The prayers and the work that we do today, we pray will be the game changer to create ease and elegance and grace for their life as they enter into the planet, and those who have already entered. We pray blessings upon our descendants this morning. And as we honor the gift, the most precious gift in our life, and that's ourselves. Just placing our hand over our heart this morning and saying, thank you, God, for creating such a gift called, whatever your name is, Janine. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the gift called me. Well, family, good morning, my kings and queens, my gods and goddesses, my multi-billionaires and millionaires. It is such a great morning. This is our third day of our Money Love Challenge, and I'm super, super excited to share. And so as we move through this morning's Money Love Challenge and how we came up with the story that we told ourselves, I'm really excited to share because I had something new come up for myself. I was like, wow, that's interesting. And I hope that this Money Love Challenge finds you well, developing a phenomenal relationship with money. I hope you were able to loveify yesterday, loveify a relationship, whatever you decided to loveify, and we're going to have a great conversation about it. So I'm going to play a song, invite Khadija in, and I can't wait to share my story. I'm going to think I'm going to play, you know I got to play Kim. Maybe I'll play Jesus. You tuned in to the Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. And I guess you don't want to play today, huh? Let's see. Well, you know how these computers do what they do.
Jesus is the love of my life.
Save my life.
Jesus, Jesus,
Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram, and we've been all about manifesting Manifest March. And so we've been using Reverend Ike to open up with his prayer treatment. I hope you've been saying your prayer treatment every morning and maybe even say it before you go to sleep at night. Yeah, I hope you had the opportunity to check out the Love Journey page. Like it if you haven't, and been going on there and keeping up with our Love Challenge, our Money Love Challenge. I love it, love it, love it. And so yesterday's challenge was very, very thought-provoking for me. I don't know about anybody else. And we're going to invite Ms. Khadija Ali into the call. And she wanted us to open up and share our story. And as she comes in, yesterday's was about to write our first money memory. Good morning, Khadija.
Good morning, Janine. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Measure the call. Go ahead.
Good morning. Welcome, welcome. Thank you for having me. Good morning, family. Happy Wednesday. Today is our third day of the Money Love Challenge, and I'm excited. I'm excited. Family, if you are just joining us and feel like you are behind, you are not. You are not. We are in the third day, but the first day was very simply that we were setting our intentions. So you can go to the Facebook page and catch up. If you didn't catch day one or day two, there's still time. I just wanted to say that. Go to the page. Write your intention down. Today we're going to spend a little bit of time on what came up for us for day two. And day two was to write about in your journal what your first money memory was. And, you know, when I left you yesterday, I said, you know, specifically write about how you felt inside of that memory. You know, don't just describe, you know, the details, but like, how did it make you feel? How did it make you feel? So I wanted to open up the lines this morning to give the family an opportunity to share what came up for you as you were writing your memory down, your first memory of money. I had some interesting observations, like you, Janine, as I was writing my memory. It's always the same memory because it's something significant, I guess, inside of me. And something new came up for me as I was journaling yesterday. And it's always this memory at age seven. That was my first and is my first memory of me actually handling money or dealing with money myself. And I was 7 years old, And for whatever this particular year, my grandparents and aunts and uncles had sent money to me, like, throughout that whole year. My grandmother was always sending me packages. At the time, I was living in California with my parents. And so, you know, all my relatives were back east in Florida. And I just remember having a lot of, you know, for a 7-year-old, $30, especially back in 1970, maybe it was 78, 79, something like that. $30, $20 was a lot of money for a little 7-year-old. But I just remember having, you know, all this money. It was birthday, it was Easter, it was Christmas. It was all of the different holidays where, you know, your relatives send you money. So I had probably $80, $90. And it was, I didn't have a wallet at that time. I didn't have a bank account. So what I would do is I would take the money and I would put it under my bed. And I would just save it. You know, I would spend a little bit. But what came up for me was, like, at that time in my life, I was a little saver. I would save most of the money, and I would spend very little, maybe $5 or $2 or $3 here and there. And I just remember how it made me feel. It made me feel safe, and it made me feel responsible. And it gave me, I don't even know what the word was. I'm still trying to search for this word that the feeling that it gave me, I guess it gave me security. It gave me a sense of security. It made me feel safe. It made me feel like I was responsible, that maybe I was building something. Because I do remember listening to my parents argue all the time. And one of the things that they argued about consistently, and this is me at 7 years old, observing this, was money. And my dad was a saver. He was a, wait a minute, before we spend, you know, what's going on? And we need to save money. And, you know, he was that kind of person when it came to money. And my mother was the total, complete opposite of that. She was like, I'm going to live life. If I want something, I'm going to get it right then and there. And the bills will get figured out. So I saw that growing up. I saw that at 7. And I, you know, I guess in my little mind, it was like, okay, well, the best thing to do is you're supposed to save. Like, that's the right thing to do. You know, I guess I made a judgment in my mind about it. So long story short, one day I came home from school and I went in my room and I went under the bed. And my money was gone. It was gone. And I remember asking my mother, you know, has she seen it? And she said no. But something in my intuition, and that was a new thing that came up for me. I didn't have proof that she had taken it, but there was something in my gut that I knew that she had taken it. And that she was, you know, she wasn't going to admit to, you know, taking it. And so I wrote about that in the journal yesterday. And I just said that my intuition was strong. And then I said, from that point on, I never put money under my bed again. I couldn't trust that it wouldn't be stolen again. And it's so funny because in 2015, I started saving money, and not by putting it in the bank. I started saving money again at home. And the exact same scenario happened. Someone broke into my home and stole what I had saved. And from that point on, you know, it was like this idea of you're not able to save money, like, came up again, like, all those years later. Like, something happened when you save money. And I didn't realize that idea still present in my psyche. So, you know, I really have to start working on this belief that I have that if I save money, something's going to happen to it. So that's what came up for me. And I want to open up the lines for anybody who wants to share, you know, what came up for you and how did it make you feel? You know, what ideas did you have about money that may have carried from that moment up until this point in time for you? So with that, I'm complete. And Janine, if you want to open up the lines, anybody have questions, you can get
Mom and tell my story. It's interesting because my story is very similar, and I never thought about that story because whenever I write about my money challenge, this one story about the earliest I can remember, it's always around 12 or 13 when my sister had taken me out of my last foster care, and I was living with her, and I asked her for money, and the feeling that came over me to go to school with. And I remember thinking, I'm never going to ask anybody for money. You know, I always tell that story. But I kept saying, I know it's got to be an earlier money story than that. And I was thinking, well, why does it have to be negative? Maybe it's something good, right? But I started thinking about living in, when I was about 6 or 7, living in Britton's grandmother's home. She was one of my caregivers, foster caregivers. And I remember Uncle Harry used to give us, all the kids, maybe quarters all the time. He used to give us different, maybe a quarter, 2 quarters, 50 cents. And we would go down to the corner store on 72nd and Morgan and buy candy. And I used to buy these lemon heads or Boston baked beans in the little boxes. And so I would buy that. There was only about a nickel, and then I would save the rest. And so whenever the boxes were empty, I would put my quarters in those boxes and hide them in the box and hide them in the closet. And one day I went into the closet, and all my money was gone. And I was like, wow, I hadn't thought about that. And then I started thinking about the other times. I remember when there were other little things that happened, but significant things, like when my Diamond was born, I had saved up over $2,000, and Uncle Jerry had stole all my money. I didn't know he was hooked on drugs, and my money was in the drawer. So my sister said, okay, because she told me not to buy anything for the baby until after the baby was born. And that was significant because 2 years before Diamond was born, my sister had a baby born, stillborn. So she didn't want me to buy anything until after the baby was born. So I was saving my money up to buy Diamond this beautiful bedroom set and everything she needed as a baby. And when she went to the drawer, she said the money wasn't there. And come to find out, her husband, Uncle Jerry, had stole the money at the time. And I was like, oh, my God. So then I wrote that, and then I started thinking about when I moved out into one of my first apartments, and my mom came to live with me, and my grandmother used to tell us, if you put your money in the Bible, nobody, your money would never come up missing. Well, that was not a true story. I was putting the money in the Bible before I went, and Brenton was becoming an electrician. So he had 6 weeks on and 6 weeks off. In school, you go to school for 6 weeks, and then you go and you make like $15, $20 an hour as an electrician for 6 weeks. And so his 6 weeks on, I would take the money and put it in the Bible so we could have the money to pay the bills and everything like that. So when the 6 weeks was off, we still can maintain ourselves through the process. Well, that's what the Bible came up missing. My mom had stolen the Bible. So I started thinking about, oh, my God, all these different times that my money had been stolen significantly throughout these periods of my life, and I had not even thought about that. And I was thinking, and so because it was such a new revelation in the consistency of money being stolen, I haven't really processed it yet because usually my story is different. So that's what I had came up with, and I was like, wow. What does that really mean? How have I been navigating my relationship with money because money been stolen? Have I said, well, I better spend it before somebody steal it, or I can't let nobody know. What, you know, just all different thoughts came up behind it. So because it was a new revelation of consistency throughout different periods of my life, I had never connected the dots, so it's still kind of new and fresh for me. So I was like, wow, I wonder what belief system did I create. I'm not sure what belief system I created. I know that I've been working out of the belief system that it wasn't enough, because that was kind of the theme throughout the process. And one thing, so the seven-year-old money was stolen, and then I was at my mom's, had came back to my mom's one time. And there used to be a store called Alpar's on 71st Street in Chicago, off of between Paxton and Luella. And I wanted this game, but I didn't bring my money. And my mom was like, you got to stop being cheap with yourself. When you want something, I'll give you money for you to purchase it. So I'm going to buy this right here, and then I want you to return my money when we get home. And I don't know why that was a significant thing. I wrote it in there, too. So it was also new. So I haven't really got the feelings and what the, you know, the significance and what that really means to my relationship to money. Maybe I didn't want it. I don't know yet. So that's my new revelation, though. And I was like, wow. So that was what came up for me yesterday. I'm still processing all of it, though, but that's what came up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That is similar. Mm-hmm. I think the belief for me is that when I save money, bad things happen. You know, like every time. Because when the money was taken in 2015, I said, oh, my God. You know, I'm working so hard. I'm saving money. I'm being careful. I'm being responsible. And somebody came in. You know, it was like the same thought. And I'm thinking, wow, from the age of seven all the way to 2015, which is like 30-something years, that same thought was present, you know? And it shows you just how it goes back to when you were talking about you can cut off of the, how did you put that the other day about you can cut the leaves, but the roots, you got to get to the root of whatever it is. And if you don't get to the root, you know, it's still there. You know, you're doing all this artwork, but underneath is where you really need to get to the core. So that's a powerful story, powerful indeed.
Well, if you want to tell us what came up for you, you can touch one on Blog Talk Radio or come in on the teleconference line by touching star six. If you have any questions, comments, concern, if you're new, whatever. And we want to welcome all our new callers this morning. We do have quite a few new callers on the phone this morning. Welcome, welcome. And we're on a money love challenge, and we're developing a stronger relationship to our money. And also, we are on the month of manifestation. So every morning we'll be doing our prayer treatment with the infamous Reverend Ike. Yes, yes, yes. And Khadija Ali is who's heading us up and leading us in the charge of our money relationship, our money love relationship. And I tell you, I just want to say thank you, Khadija, for bringing it to us. And also thank you for having the courage to share your vulnerabilities and your places of growth. And so thank you so much. We do have a text message, which is an interesting text message, and I'll share with you what she said. She said, good morning, I'm at work, and I'm not able to speak, but I'm always listening in on the love journey. I have my phone in my purse, so I had to sneak and text in, and I have my earpiece in my ear with my hair over it, so I'm listening. She said, but I wanted to share this morning first by saying thank you for the opportunity to manifest and bring forth whatever desires we want. Thank you for the Lovify challenge. Thank you for the money challenge. She said, but I grew up in a home where my mother was a prostitute, and her boyfriend, fiance, husband, whatever he was to her at the time, was her pimp. And she said that they sold me out when I was 10, 11 years old. And so I always thought that any guy that I dated or had sex with had to pay me. And so I had a real strong belief system in being paid at all costs. So I married a guy for money because he had a lot of money. He could take care of me and any children that we had. But I stayed way too long, even though He provided all the nice things, the nice cars, the nice clothes. I was physically, emotionally, and spiritually abused by him every day. She said some days he would come in after being out all night or coming in from being gone for 2 or 3 days and just beat me and hit on me. And it took a long time for me to have the courage. And being on this prayer line has caused me to leave some years back. But now I still have an idea of being, when I choose relationships, I choose relationships based on money and not on the heart and the ability to love me. And so now I'm trying to figure out how to release the idea that I need somebody else to take care of me and that the power of money can come from inside of me and that I have the gifts and talents to create money and that I don't have to marry or be with somebody or sell my body for money. And that's my money story. Whew.
Wow.
Wow. So I just want to say thank you for your vulnerability. Thank you for sharing your story this morning. And thank you for having the courage to tell your truth out loud. And I love the fact that you recognize that you have the power, the gift, and the talents from within to develop and create money. That's powerful.
Indeed. Thank you so much, Sister, for sharing your story, having the courage to be vulnerable and open up and share not only what your life, I guess, kind of started out as being pimped out. I can't even imagine having that experience. So my heart goes out to you for that. But how it continued into your adult life. And I guess the thought that came up to me is, you know, we all move from our subconscious. And, you know, it does take time to unearth and dig out these roots, you know, as Janine shared with us though on the call. So my heart goes out to you, and thank you for being vulnerable and sharing your story here with us. We really appreciate it, and we honor you for doing your work.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that was interesting. That's interesting. Wow. All right. Anybody else want to share the story, you can just press 1 on the Blog Talk Radio, *6 if you're on the teleconference line. And let us know what your story is. Because in the Money Love Challenge for yesterday, where we had to write about our story, was there that it was just to write about it? Is there anything we were supposed to do, just write it?
Well, the way that the Money Love Challenge works is each day builds on the next day.
Okay.
So today, and I guess we can get into day 3 if anyone doesn't have any comments or questions about what we shared so far. You want me to just go ahead and do day 3? Because I can.
Oh, wait. We got somebody. We don't want to do day 3. Yeah, I just was wondering if that was just it to day 2. Good morning, Miss Vicky Alana. Z, you on the air. I don't know. We can't hear you. Vicky,
*6. Oh, girl, that's
no,
because I got my mute button on.
There you go.
Lord, can you hear me now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, I just got my mute button on, just talking. Peace and blessings to you, beautiful, beautiful ladies. And thank you so much, Lady Love, and my supernova star, Khadija. And peace and blessings to you. I love Journey family. Wow, I was almost reluctant to come in and share about my money story after I just heard that sister share about her experience. And bless you, sis, for, again, for your vulnerability and for just speaking your truth. I know that's a hard thing to have to go through, but look where you are today, and thank God for it. So my money, so it's interesting that you ladies had the experience that you did, and then so you helped me to go back and find some more money memories, because I don't have a lot of memories about my childhood. You know, I feel like I need to get into hypnosis or something to kind of bring out those things. But what came up for me yesterday was, and you mentioned a story, movies that you may have watched. And when you said that, honestly, it was like, I remember watching this story. It used to be a series that would come on called The Millionaire. And I hadn't thought about that particular show until you all said something yesterday. Well, what, did you watch anything? And The Millionaire came to me. And so I had to be about, I guess, maybe 5 years old, because when I looked it up yesterday, it was on between the years of 1955, which is when I was born, and it stopped in 1960. So it had to have occurred during that time. But I remember sitting in our sitting room, in our little den. Again, I was about 5 years old, and watching this show called The Millionaire. And there was always a story about something that someone was going through. And it seemed like it could have been like a hardship or something that was going on in their life, and they really needed something. And there's this gentleman who was the donor. He would write a check for $1 million. Excuse me. And he had his assistant, this guy named Anthony, I think his name, Michael Anthony, and he would be the one that would go to the people and knock on their door and give them this check for $1 million. And the only thing that they had to do was to sign a piece of paper that said that they would not tell anybody how they got this $1 million. I just remember feeling, wow, what would that be like? I had no idea at the age of five what $1 million even was, but I knew it was a lot of money. And I just can remember being so fascinated about what it would be like to have, you know, that millionaire come to my door and, you know, and give my mama and daddy a check for $1 million. And what in the world would I get? I can imagine. I thought about I would get a bunch of toys and clothes and things like that. I mean, I don't really have a specific memory, but I just can imagine that. But I do remember having a feeling of how wonderful it would be to have that experience. And so fast forwarding through the years of my life, I realize now that that really was the catalyst to wanting to be a millionaire. I've talked about being a millionaire. I got a gazillion vision boards that says I'm a millionaire. And I've always had this feeling about wanting to be rich. And I never thought about it really coming like I have to go to work or I got to do some investments. I wanted it to just show up. I wanted it to be I'm chosen, and it's just going to show up. It's going to knock at my door. It's going to come through some gift. You know, it's just going to show up. Somebody is going to say, here, somebody left you a legacy, whatever. But that feeling of that it's just going to happen just like that. And the other thing I remember is that it changed people's lives, that you went from being, you know, not having something to having everything. And what a beautiful feeling that is. I've often thought about, you know, when that experience happens, and I just get this tingly feeling in areas of my body, you know, a beautiful lower chakra area of our body where it just like feels like, oh my God, how do you even explain something like that? How do you feel what the joy of that would be to come from having close to nothing to having everything? So anyway, that was that experience for me. And I just want to add in here, because I know you know, Janine, you know, and Khadija, you know, but for some of the newer callers that haven't heard my story, I had another show that I watched, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, and just from sitting and watching that and dreaming about living on a Caribbean island, I thought you had to be a millionaire to live on an island, you know, surrounded by the beautiful Caribbean Sea and the white sandy beaches. I always thought that you had to be a millionaire, but I was blessed to be able to have that experience and wasn't a millionaire, living off of $700 Social Security, but I kept that dream alive in my consciousness that I wanted to live on the Caribbean island, and I was able to manifest that in my life. So I'm continuing to keep my dream alive from that five-year-old dreaming that somehow, some way, $1 million showing up in my life is going to be a thing that happens. And I like feeling like that. So I'm going to let my story go from that point. And, before I do want to say this, that you two ladies had the experience of money being taken from you when you were young. And when you were talking, I was reminded of how I used to be the one taking the money. So that may be another conversation at another time. So I'm going to put the talking stick back in the middle.
Well, that might be something that you might even want to write about, because whether you the person who money is stole from or whether you steal money, it's still the same story, because somewhere in our consciousness, you know, probably hoarding the money was coming from some place where we needed to heal of, and then attracting and magnetizing over the years it being taken. And for you to feel like you need to take, it may have a similar consciousness that need to be healed. So that's a good place to start in healing your money, because it's the same space. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got that. Right. Great. Yeah, thank you for that insight. I definitely will delve more into that. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, thank you. It was wonderful to have that memory back again. And it's so funny. I Googled The Millionaire, and I was able to watch a couple of episodes, and it was just, I just said, oh my God, I remember this. So thank you all for the opportunity to have some fun with this as well. Peace.
And I just want to add in there that, you know, we do put on our, a lot of us have put on our millionaire conscious, you know, millionaires on our vision boards. And I just want to add that money can still come from us, from somebody knocking. Money still can come to us by knocking on our door and somebody dropping $1 million or whatever processes, you know, that can come in. But, you know, you have to have a consciousness to attract the million, whether you put a plan together to buy 10 houses and flip or whatever, invest in stocks or whatever, you still have to develop the consciousness for it to happen. So it can still happen.
All right, we got another caller. And I'm going to
Well, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. This
good
is Carla.
Morning.
Can you hear me?
Hey. Yes.
Okay, so I had an interesting, thought when I was thinking about all this. And I had this, I've always felt that money is a way of control. Because when I first did it, it was coming out like that. And then the next time I started thinking about it, this journey was a time when my mother wanted, I guess she had something going on and she wanted me to sing. And I didn't want to, being rebellious, I didn't want to. And she told me, I pay for your voice lessons and you're going to sing anytime I tell you to sing. And I just remembered that. And I said to her, I'm getting a job. And I'm going to pay for my own voice lessons. Oh, so I'm like, wow, you know, I have this thing about I have to have my own money because if I have to rely on anybody else for anything, they have control over me when and when I can and can't do something, and I don't want to be in that space ever. So I started working as a young girl, and I haven't stopped. but with the wrong intention. So that's what came up for me.
Mm.
I'm complete.
With the wrong intention. Thank you for sharing your story. That's the family. The family. Wow, that is a great story to think about. Control. How many, you know, I think that a lot of us have been used or have used money for control. You know, when I was thinking about the story that was shared through the text message, you know, sometimes, you know, we found ourselves in relationships with people for money because of control. And when you were talking, Carla, I was thinking about how much energy, control energy and ego goes into the idea of money. You know what I'm saying? The money energy that comes with the idea of control, the idea of wanting to, like even for me, always wanting to have my own money because I didn't want to have to be in a position to ask anybody for anything. And when you're not a good receiver, when you're not positioning your life where you can receive from the universe, then you always have to work hard for your money. And so that was the one thing that I also came up with, is removing the hard work consciousness and being able to be a great receiver from expected and unexpected places. That's something that I want us to think about, too, as we move through this journey. Are we great receivers? And do we know how to ask for support? Those are some of the things that we think about when we start thinking about money. What comes up when you have to ask for money? Oh. That was my thing when I was writing. I had so many thoughts when it came up to money. I was just like, wow, it's still all this stuff is still stuck in there. Come on out of here so we can open up the space so money can just flow in easy and effortlessly. If you just tuned in to The Love Journey, we're on our third day of our Money Love Challenge, and we had to write our story about our first earliest memory about money. And if you had an opportunity to write your story and you want to tell your first early story, you can just *6 if you're on the teleconference line, or *1 if you're on Blog Talk, and come in and share with us your earliest memory of money. And the month of March is about manifesting. So we're using Reverend Ike's prayer treatment. We're using the Money Love Challenge to develop a stronger relationship with money. And I loveified my money yesterday. I wrote me a long loveified letter to money, asking love to teach me how to develop my relationship with money. It was so beautiful and amazing to have that experience. Did anybody loveify their money? Did anybody have the idea to loveify, or you loveified another relationship? So if you want to talk about that, you can come in and
share.
Talk. Okay.
So my income is a monthly occurrence. And what came up for me yesterday that I stopped and I said, oh, my goodness, I've really got to change this vibration and this energy, is I'm always like thinking about what I have to pay, what I have to, you know, my invoices and things. And so yesterday I was at the bank and I was withdrawing some money so that I could pay for my rent. And I, like, had to catch myself mid-thought because I was like, oh, you know, this is a lot of money, you know, to be paying rent and not to be, you know, buying a house. And then I said, oh, thankful that I do have the ability to have a roof over my head and pay whatever it is I need to pay or circulate, let me change my language, circulate what I have to circulate because it's coming back tenfold, and have a place for me and my son and my daughter to lay our heads. And I really wanted to, I had to change my energy around it. And so, you know, as I was holding the money, I was like, you know, just saying, thank you. I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful. You know, you are providing a place for me and my family to lay our heads. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And that brought me back to when you were talking, Janine, just now, when Carla was sharing her story, something that Kate interviewed last week, and that is that money in and of itself has no value. It's what we place on it. And so, you know, just observing and hearing everyone's stories, you know, a $10 bill is just a piece of paper. It really is just a piece of paper, but what we have attached to it or what story we've attached to it is what gives it the power. So with that, I'm complete. And if we don't have any more shares, we can move into day three.
We can go ahead and move after three. Let me check. Oh, 520. Good morning. You're on the air. Can you state your name and where you're from? Thank you for calling into the Love Journey this morning.
Oh, excuse me. Good morning. I'm calling from Arizona, and my name is Christina. How are you guys this morning?
Good morning, Christina. You have such a nice voice.
Thank you. Well, I like your little discussion about money. I actually can't remember the first time. I can't think of when I thought about money, but I did when I was growing up. Like my parents, we always had enough money. When my mom passed away, I always felt insecure about money. Like I always wanted to make sure I had enough money. So like whenever I get paid, I always pay my bills, but then I always feel like I better save some. Maybe I won't have enough, you know, like when I go to spend on myself. Or, like, I think maybe I shouldn't spend it on that. Maybe I should save it. You know, do you know what I mean? So I'm not sure what I'm doing, you know, but I do want to manifest some money in my life, you know, more than enough, not just enough. And I have been listening to Esther Hicks. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know who she is. So I've been trying, you know, because changing your thoughts, you know, it says your thoughts become a thing. So I've been trying to change all my, you know, my thoughts about money into good things, you know, into saying it's okay if I spend some. I don't have to save it all the time. And I just have to get that, I guess, I don't know what it is. I guess that, you know, I just feel secure if I have the money, you know, instead of spending the money. So I'm not sure what's going on there. So I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
Well, first of all,
I want to say
you're awfully quiet.
Oh, no, I just wanted to say thank you for sharing your thoughts, but also present with the Money Love Challenge, because each day is going to build on different things. And so your thoughts are going to be expanded over this course of 21 days, where you will start to really examine it from a lot of different viewpoints. So I hope that you are, you have your journal and you're writing in it, and you're following the journey, because we are going to, there's going to be more inside of the challenge that expands on what we've started to talk about. So thank you for sharing. I'm sorry, Janine.
Okay. Christine, I just wanted to say what came up for me is when you, what came up for me is how do you value yourself? You know what I'm saying? Because when you said I pay all my bills, but when I think about buying something for me, I think about I should save my money and not purchase this item for myself.
Yes.
So I wonder what comes up for you in terms of, and I say that because I used to have those kind of thoughts a lot of times where I shouldn't, you know, and sometimes I read this book when we first started our Millionaire Mind conversation called The Wealth Choice on here on The Love Journey. And the first thing it said in there is how you see yourself is how you see your money. Your money, your, you know, everything that you save, everything, your bank account has a lot to do with how you value you. And I was like, well, how does my money have anything to do in how I see myself? Because money takes on the energy of our own thoughts. So when money, like she said, money has no value in and of itself. It needs us to animate it, right? So when we take money and we have money in our energy and we can say, okay, I could pay everything, but I'm not going to buy myself nothing. What I'm teaching the universe and the energy of money that it's okay to pay my bills, but I don't need anything for myself. So you have to think about how I'm showing up. How do I feel about me? Am I showing up not enough? For me, it was not enough. That's what came up. I wasn't good enough or something not enough, you know, or like even starting this love journey prayer line was like, oh, I'm not going to be good enough to do that. I can't pray. I don't know how to do, you know, all these thoughts came up and I had to move past myself in order to do it. So I just wonder what came up for me is how do you actually view your own greatness? How do you see yourself navigating in the world and how do you feel about Christine? You know what I mean? How does Christine feel about Christine? You know, when you go ahead.
I was gonna say I just resonated so good when you said spending your money, like saying, telling the universe, it's okay if I have enough to pay my bills, but I won't spend none on me or have for me. So that resonated so good. So I'm like, okay. So I don't know why, but I guess that's the part I'm going to have to let go of saying to myself. It's okay if I spend money on me too. You know, I guess because I'm so used to doing it for my children and my husband first. You know, I always say, let me get, make sure they have everything they need. And then when it comes to me, I'm like, oh, I could do without it. I'll save it. Do you know what I mean? So I'm like, you know what?
Oh, nice.
I've been trying my hardest, let me tell you, is to get, to use all my things. Like I have like nice comforters, and I had them stored away, and I said, you know what, I took them out and I aired them out, I fluffed them up, and I go, I'm going to start using everything. What am I buying them and saving them for what? So now I have been doing that, so I'm working on it. I truly am. Could give me any more advice on how, what direction to go into? Or am I going in the right direction by, like, starting to use my things, and now I'll start spending money on myself starting today?
Well, I would say that you're already going in the right direction, and I would say trust your inner direction, your inner GPS. And I'm just so glad that you came on the line, because I remember being that person who, I remember when I got my first Marshall Fields was this big, elegant store in Chicago. And I remember buying, you know, I just had one daughter and my husband, Brenton, and I would buy them things, but I wouldn't buy myself anything. You know, I would do everything for them and make sure, but it had to come. I remember sitting with myself one day, meditating, and I remember thinking about paying myself first, you know. And I used to do it because I had read the book, The Richest Man in Babylon. I would suggest everybody read that book. And it talks about, you know, taking the first 10% of everything you earn and saving it. And I remember I did that. I used to do that. I used to do that. And then one day I stopped. And then I did it again and stopped. And then when I started doing it again, this time it was different, because what Spirit told me in my meditation is that we teach the energy of the universe how to treat us in our money energy. When we say, when the first 20% goes to us, we take that money and we, you know, you put it in investment for ourselves, we're showing our money energy that we are important. When we put ourselves last on our to-do list and we don't honor our divine presence, we're saying that we're not important. And so the universe will show up with the, because one of the things you talk about is thoughts, but what's most important is the vibration. And I know Esther has taught you that vibration is how you show up. It's the language of the universe. So you're vibrating in the universe that, yes, pay my bills, take care of my husband, take care of my children, but you don't have to worry about me, because that's how you treat me yourself. And my grandmother used to tell us, the universe, you know, people don't treat you the way you want to be treated. They treat you the way you treat yourself. And I didn't used to get that. You know, when my cousins would come home and they upset about the way the man did them, and my grandmother would say, girl, men treat you the way you treat yourself, not the way you want to be treated. And I was like, it didn't make sense. But what she was talking about was vibration. And so the vibrations that you're vibrating is saying that I'm not important. And so I just want to say, continue on the journey that you're putting on, because you're beginning to say, by putting your comforters and your nice things out there, and you're starting to take care of yourself in a different way, you're starting to honor the divine presence of Christine. That's a powerful place to be in. And we all have to start somewhere. So I honor you this morning, and I honor your presence for taking those first steps, saying I'm important, and I'm going to use my stuff that's nice around me. I'm going to create beauty and presence around me. So I think that I would say I honor you. Thank you for taking the step. Thank you for doing what you're doing to say to yourself that I am just as important as all the things around me, and create beauty for your life. Thank you for showing up for yourself this morning, Christine.
Well, I thank you for that. I really enjoyed that. I'm like, ah, it feels like a breath of air. It's weird, but it does. I thank you, the ladies, for that advice and your thoughts on everything, and you guys have a blessed day.
You do the same. And if you want to learn more about the Love Journey, you can go to our Love Journey page and like our page on Facebook. And I hope you join us on this 21-day. Today is our third day of our Money Love Challenge. And the Love Journey is all about learning to love the divine presence of ourselves.
I like that. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you. All right, Khadija, you can give us our third day of our money challenge, and we're going to go ahead and release the call this morning.
All right, that was delicious.
Juicy and delicious.
Delicious. Oh! So, family, our third day, today's day three on Money Love Challenge, is, again, you're pulling out your journal, and you're going to write down everything you are releasing from your financial past that no longer serves you. So day three is pulling out your journal and write down everything you are releasing from your financial past that no longer serves you. So that's building on day two, which is, you know, sharing your first money memory. And, of course, if there was a belief that came up, and we've been discussing this at length this morning, put it inside of whatever you're going to release from your past. I'm releasing, when I save money, bad things happen. I'm releasing that. I'm going to be writing about that in my journal once we finish writing about it in depth and anything else that comes up as I'm here writing inside. So with that, we are complete with day three. And I will, of course, post it on the Facebook page. If you didn't catch the whole entire question, I'll post it over there. And thank you so much, Janine. This has been absolutely delicious this morning. Everyone sharing and all the different perspectives. And we are enough. We are all enough. I am enough. You are enough. And that's it.
Thank you, Khadija. We're on, you've been tuned into the Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Khadija this morning. We're, this whole month is about manifesting. We're using Reverend Ike's prayer treatment in the morning. We're using Ayanna Vincent, Esther Hicks, and all of the greats that are coming before us to teach us about vibration and money. And we're also using Christine Northrup. Is that her? Yeah, Northrup. And, well, she got a new name now because she's married and got a new baby and doing all these things. But we're taking all their tools and incorporating in this month to manifest whatever it is that we desire. And remember, don't forget to loveify, because anything that you remember, that anything that you love enough, it will reveal its secrets to you. George Washington Carver was asked about the plant. And how did he come up with so many inventions? And he said, if you love something enough, it will reveal its secrets to you. And you remember when the millionaire came on, and he said, if we spoke to our money and develop a relationship with our money, it will reveal its secrets to you to direct you in where to invest your money. Well, we can take that and translate that to anything. If you love yourself enough, the universe will reveal its secrets to you. If you love something enough, it will reveal its secrets to you. So don't forget to loveify in your life today. All right, I want to remind you that your life is a gift from God. What you do with your life, Janine, is it?
Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry. I just wanted to add to the challenge is that once you finish writing, don't write it in a journal. Write it on a piece of paper. Burn it. That was day three. So I'll post it on the page, but you're writing to release it, and you're going to actually burn it.
I know you told me that on 33 was a burn. I said, well, I won't add it if it ain't in there. I thought that's what she said. So yeah. I was wondering where to burn. You know, my husband be like, this girl love fire.
Aries.
All right, so just so you can be clear, today three, and some people have already released the call, so I'll make sure that we repeat it, yes, if they didn't do it today. But today is day three, and you're supposed to write out all the things you want to release in terms of money. And so just to go back, yesterday we wrote some things that came up for us about money. Today you want to write about what it is that you want to release. So you might want to release the idea that it's not enough. You may want to release the idea that money don't grow on trees, or whatever things that you want to release, and then you want to burn it in fire. And fire is a powerful releasing agent. It's a cleansing modality. And so as you release it into the fire, you want to just see it being gone, all of that stuff being poured out of you. No longer with anything that's not serving you when it comes to your money relationship. You want to release that into the fire. So we're going to post it on the Love Journey. And if you want to, take a picture of your fire and put it on the Facebook page. I'm going to put my picture on there. You're going to see me burning my letter, and I'm going to take a picture of it, and I'm going to show you I'm releasing everything that no longer serves me when it comes to the energetic expression of God's love called money. All right, family. Thank you for reminding us that. Khadija Ali, thank you. And thank you for each and every one of you who had the opportunity to share today. Your stories all were powerful, and they were all meaningful. Thank you for all the new callers that's on the line this morning. Thank you for sharing the Love Journey. To those who are sharing the Love Journey and people are finding their way here, I want to say I appreciate you. For those who made a commitment to give $5 a month, I want to say thank you for that. Those who are committed, some people don't commit to $20 a month, but I tell you it is a blessing to have you make a commitment to the Love Journey. Means that I am showing up in a way that I have an expectation of reciprocity. And so your commitment, more than the money, means a lot to me, because that means we have a reciprocity relationship, reciprocal relationship. And that means my receiving energy is opening up. So thank you so much. And I promise you, your commitment to the Love Journey will return back to you a millionfold, because some of the things that I have planned for those on this call to invest in your dreams and invest in your ability to bring forth your dreams, is going to be more than you could ever think, ask, and imagine. I got some great things God has downloaded into me, and I definitely want to make sure that what's better than one millionaire? 4, 5, 10 of us, right? Yes! What's better than one billionaire? 4, 5, 10 of us, right? Yes! So that's my motto. What's better than one? All of us being there. And whatever I can do to support you, even in the money department, I want to do that. So I'm asking God to open up some things, and things are opening, and I can't wait to share. But, you know, I want to share it when it comes. So thank you again for those who made a commitment to the Love Journey. I made a commitment back to those of you who are on this call. We're gonna do some things this year. All right, again, your life is a gift from God, and what you do with your life is a gift back to God. I want to remind you to choose love. Love is a choice, and also remind you, don't just dream, but live your God-sized dream. And yes, you can be that millionaire. You can be that billionaire that you already are. So here's to life. You've been tuned in to the Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. And Khadija has been leading us on a 21-day money love challenge. And this is Barbara Streisand. Here's to life, family.
No complaints and no regrets. I still believe in chasing dreams and placing bets. For I have learned that all you give is all you get. So give it all you've got. I drank my fill, and even though I'm satisfied, I'm hungry still to see what's down another road beyond the hill and do it all again. So here's better. Here's to life. Here's to love. Here's to
you. Have an amazing, love-filled, joy-filled, money-filled day, and know that you are all that God is. See you in the morning.